It's our regular Share Something segment. This week, we're checking out some novels set in the world of academia. There's some new stuff and an old classic that's getting a revival.
Anne Strainchamps joins us now. She's host and producer of WPR's national show, To the Best of Our Knowledge. Anne, it's great to have you here.
Hi, Veronica. Great to be here.
Well, you, like Steve Paulson, are a huge reader, and I know that when you recommend a book, I kind of take that as gospel. So this week, you've got some books that center around university life. This kind of novel's got kind of a long tradition, doesn't it?
I am a huge fan of the college novel, and I've been collecting them for years. I think the college campus is a perfect setting for a novel because, you know, it's a small, closed community. It's kind of like setting a novel in a small town or an office, this perfect little stage set. And also, academic life offers just such wonderful characters, fodder for comedy and satire. You know, campus is full of eccentric professors, weird students, backstabbing and departmental intrigue, and all with a background of great books and beautiful ivy-covered walls.
And your first pick is it's an older one, right? That's kind of getting a second wind now. It's called Stoner. Tell us about that
one. Yeah, an old book that's new again. So Stoner is a forgotten classic by a guy named John Williams. It was out of print for a really long time and recently re-released, and it's kind of developing something of a cult following. And I'm going to let you hear about it the way I first did from writer Steve Almond in a segment on To the Best of Our Knowledge.
My name is Steve Almond, and the book I want you to read as soon as... Actually, you could actually be reading it while I'm talking to you. It's that good, and I'm that boring. It's a novel called Stoner. It was given to me many years ago by a friend of mine, and I can tell you that I thought it was about something very different from what it actually turns out to be about. The book is not actually about any kind of drug-fueled exploits. It is maybe the quietest and most restrained book I've ever read. It's about a man named William Stoner, and the first couple of paragraphs essentially announced to the reader that he was an academic, studied medieval literature, and he taught for many years at the same school. He did not go off to World War I and become a war hero. He was not involved in any major intrigue. He's mostly a forgotten figure. He's a forgotten figure to his colleagues and his students. They don't think about him at all. It's the strangest opening to a novel I've ever experienced, and it's also completely hypnotic.
And that is the journalist and writer Steve Almond talking about your first pick, an older book called Stoner. Why is Steve Almond and other people sort of keying in on this older book right now?
Well, I've wondered about that, and I think it's a classic and deceptively simple novel. It's the story of this one man's life. You know, William Stoner, I guess it's an old-fashioned life he lives, really. You could call it, by today's standards, a small life. It's not especially exciting. He's not famous. He never achieves acclaim or genius, and he doesn't expect that either. He has an unhappy marriage. He has this short, kind of life-giving affair. He's unfairly accused by a colleague and then spends decades out of favor in his department, and then he, you know, dies as quietly as he's lived. He's a very quiet, a deeply honorable, deeply admirable man. And I think, you know, today it's such a contrast to the kind of lives we often tell stories about or even aspire to live today. Lives that are big, glamorous, filled with success and fame and fortune, right? Well, William Stoner lives the exact opposite, an old-fashioned, quiet life in which he tries to be of service. And the novel shows you just how really beautiful that is. It's completely captivating and very subtle. And yeah, I really love the novel, and I'm happy to see it getting so much renewed attention.
And so that's an older one. Contrast then with a newer pick in that same genre. This one is Dear Committee Members by Julie Schumacher.
Julie Schumacher, who teaches just, you know, north of Wisconsin, teaches creative writing and literature at the University of Minnesota. So this is a classic academic satire. It's also about an embittered middle-aged English professor. Jason Fitker teaches creative writing and literature at Payne University. And I'm sure that pun is intended. It's a small college in the Midwest. He's facing the usual budget cuts and the bureaucratic, you know, kerfuffles. Jason once dreamed of writing a great American novel, and his writing career has tanked. And like a lot of academics today, he is besieged by requests for letters of recommendation. He gets just endless requests from his current and former colleagues. And the novel is told entirely in the form of these letters that he writes, which are these little masterpieces of caustic wit and grumpiness.
Oh, let's hear one.
Okay, here's one. This is one of my favorites. Dear Ms. Ingersoll, This letter is intended to bolster the application to Wexler Foods of my former student, John Lisinski, who completed the junior-senior creative writing workshop 3 months ago. Mr. Lisinski received a final grade of B, primarily on the basis of an 11-page short story about an inebriated man who tumbles into a cave and surfaces from an alcoholic stupor to find that a tentacled monster, a sort of fanged and copiously salivating octopus, if memory serves, is gnawing through the flesh of his lower legs, the monster's spittle burbling ever closer to the victim's groin. Though chaotic and improbable, even within the fantasy horror genre, the story was solidly constructed. Dialogue consisted primarily of agonized groans and screaming. The chronology was relentlessly clear. Mr. Lisinski attended class faithfully, arriving on time, and rarely succumbed to the undergraduate impulse to check his cell phone for messages or relentlessly zip and unzip his backpack in the final minutes of class. Whether punctuality and an enthusiasm for flesh-eating cephalopods are the main attributes of the ideal Wexler employee, I have no idea. But Mr. Lisinski is an affable young man, reliable in his habits and reasonably bright. You might start him off in produce rather than seafood or meats. Whimsically, Jason T. Fitger.
That's really funny. I'm sure the rundown of the octopus will help with his job prospects.
Wow. Right, so Julie told us that she herself writes over 100 letters of recommendation a year. And honestly, after reading this book, I cannot imagine anyone having the courage to ask her for one again.
So that one's got obviously the trademark biting humor. And so she's a writing professor at Minnesota, you said. Mm-hmm. Seems like there are a lot of Midwestern professors of writing about being Midwestern professors of writing. There was Julie Chang, I think, from the University of Iowa workshop a while back.
Oh, yeah.
Lori Moore
that.
From Wisconsin used to write about that as well. Why do you think it's always so interesting to people, or at least to the writers?
Well, what's the old advice you're given? Write what you know, right? Mm-hmm. And honestly, with the way MFA programs are expanding, like, is there anybody who doesn't want to write a novel? So, I mean, it's such a rich world. And I think going back to what I said originally, you know, these are anytime you can find a small subculture, a pocket of people who exist in isolation and, you know, have that isolation breeds very rich and often very amusing human relationships. So I think it's just all good fodder.
And a last one here, Sons, is definitely one I think I want to read. It's called Fangirl. Tell us about Fangirl.
Right. Well, so here's where we switch it up. This one is not about academics or not about professors. It's about a student. And it's probably technically a young adult novel, but I mean, I loved it. So it's by Rainbow Rowell, and it's about an undergraduate, a girl named Kath, who's off to college for the first time, along with her twin sister. And Kath is the fangirl because she writes fan fiction. And the fiction she writes is specifically about Simon Snow, who is the hero of a best-selling series of children's books about a young magician and his friends at a private school who have to rescue the world from an evil overlord. Is this sounding familiar?
No, not at
all. Right, so clearly this is Harry Potter. So fan fiction is Kath's whole world. And you gradually realize over the course of the novel that she uses the characters she writes about as a replacement for friends and for the real world. And she's built up a huge following online. But now she's an undergrad in a huge university. She's coping with a scary roommate, a guy she likes but can't talk to, a guy she can talk to but doesn't realize she more than likes. You know, it's a coming-of-age novel and a coming-out-of-her-shell novel. And Kath does bloom over the course of the year, but she goes through some rocky times and struggles to make friends and to trust them.
So that's a YA one. Do you have to know Harry Potter to be in on the joke?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. And I think so many people are familiar with that kind of fan world these days, whether it's Harry Potter or the Twilight novels or Game of Thrones or whatever, that we really get that world that she's part of. And really, is there anybody who hasn't heard of Harry Potter?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know people who are holdouts who refuse to read it on principle, but I think at least, yeah.
Well, even those people who see the films.
Probably.
Right.
Yeah. So you said that one is personal for you somehow.
Oh, it's personal. So I really love it. I just dropped my daughter off at college for her freshman year, you know, packed her and her Harry Potter posters up. And so that really kind of hit home. I mean, she's definitely written fan fiction, but also, I think every mother wants to kind of wishes she could kind of get a peek of what her daughter's life will be like. And I hope my daughter's life in college is easier than Kath's. But it's still, I guess it lets me feel like I get a tiny window onto her life. And I also left the book with her so she could read it while she's there.
You can discuss it when she comes back over the holidays. So in terms of things that really grab you about these college novels, are there others in the genre that you can go back further and look at? I remember Jane Smiley wrote some.
Yeah, Jane Smiley did. A lot of my favorites are the funny ones. So, and by the Brits, who I often think British humor, there's just nothing like it, right? So, whom I think David Lodge wrote a whole series. He was an English professor, maybe still is. Wrote a whole series set in academic departments in Britain with and the U.S. with, you know, scheming academics and who are having crazy affairs with each other and also, you know, trying to skewer each other's careers in the process. And let's see, the classic, classic one that everybody should read is Kingsley Amis's Lucky Jim, which is... it's about a hapless undergrad, or maybe he's a graduate student at Oxford, I think, and it's just a complete comedy of errors. This is the kind of guy who's, you know, he walks down the street and chaos follows behind him and he's oblivious to it all. And then there's Robertson Davies in Canada, who was master at Massey College at the University of Toronto and wrote a wonderful series of books called the Cornish Trilogy, set in those ivy-covered walls.
Well, you really do like these college novels.
Yeah, I have a whole shelf of them at home.
Off six more novels. Well, that's great because I'm between books right now. And just before we leave, you actually got to talk to Julie Schumacher, right?
Oh, she's great. She's so, yes, she's very funny.
For To the Best of Our Knowledge.
Yes, For To the Best of Our Knowledge. And I can't give you an actual air date, but if you check the TT Book webpage, we'll let you know when we're going to get it on.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing these. And now I've got some stuff to read again.
My pleasure. Thank you both very much.
That was Anne Strainchamps, host and producer on Wisconsin Public Radio's To the Best of Our Knowledge. And by the way, you can catch To the Best of Our Knowledge right after Central Time, Monday through Thursday at 6 o'clock on the Ideas Network.